Hello everyone and welcome to the Pop That Mama podcast. In this episode we have Abby with us, who if you follow me on either Instagram or TikTok, you would have seen her amazing breech birth video. She's on the podcast to share exactly what happened, how she navigated the system and ultimately had the birth that she deserved and the birth that she dreamed of. She's right in front of me right now with her gorgeous little girl, a babe in arms. Welcome, Abby. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and maybe why you felt it was important to share your story in person, in the voice with me today?
Thank you. So I'm Abby. I'm 26 from Cornwall and I had a cesarean birth like 7 years ago, which really made me want to share what happened this time around and like how, you know, a natural birth, especially breech, is so amazing and that you should really push yourself to go about it how you want and not, you know, succumb to what people are telling you to do.
Yeah. So what happened with your, was it, sorry, first, your first
yeah,
birth?
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing a little bit?
Yeah. So I was only, 18 at the time, and I was 37 weeks, went for my 36-week, appointment with the midwife, and they told me I had really bad preeclampsia, and then I got sent straight to hospital, and that was that. So at 10 o'clock in the morning, they started injecting me with the things that mature the baby's lungs, and then I had a really bad reaction to that, fell unconscious, and then was just fitting for about 6 hours, woke up in the labour ward, had a catheter put in, and that was that. I had no idea what was happening. I just kind of woke up and they was like, right, you're going for a cesarean. I was like, okay, don't really know what's happening, but okay, that's fine. Yeah, and then he was here and it was just awful. Like, you know, I had no say in anything. He was just plonked on me and it was, yeah, I just kind of felt no connection towards him and no kind of, you know, like realization of what actually had just happened. I just kind of felt like I got thrown through the hospital, you know, told that everything was awful and it was so bad. And then that was that, yeah. And then nothing kind of happened afterwards. I just kind of got shoved out with my baby, you know, as kind of like a teen mum who had no idea what she was doing. And because of it, I got awful postnatal depression, like really bad. But yeah, so when I fell pregnant this time, June last year, before I even got pregnant, like when we were trying, I was like, right, that's it. I'm going to do this exactly how I want. I know what I'm doing. Like, I know my body. No one's going to tell me what to do. Like, I'm just going to do it exactly how I want to do it.
Amazing. Goodness, I'm just taking it all in. So tell us, like, how did you go about, I guess, kind of navigating the system and your choice around doing it physiologically when it's against the kind of, well, most hospitals advise for a repeat cesarean, but also having a baby presenting breech, that would be what they would advise as well. So how did that work out? What kind of information were you looking at online to help you and talk to us about your pregnancy and what happened?
Yeah, so I didn't, because my son was breech, and I didn't even think about the fact, like when I fell pregnant, I didn't even think like, oh, I had a cesarean before, so I probably have to have one again. Like, it didn't even cross my mind. Like, in my head, I was just like, I'm going to have a home birth. That's that. Like, I don't care what anyone's saying. But went for my 12-week scan, and they told me I had either a bicornate or eucornate uterus, and that it was completely separated down the middle, so I only had half a womb. So after they told me that, I kind of was like, oh, this isn't going to go well. This isn't going to be how I want it. And they referred me to the premature clinic. So they told me, they were like filling me with all this information that like she was going to be born really early, had to be on bed rest, and you know, like everything was going to be really bad, and like it petrified me. So I signed myself off work, just stayed at home, and yeah, I was just waiting, like literally just waiting for like this baby to be born at like 20 weeks or something. Like, I was petrified from what they were telling me. And then I also got told that I had group B strep. And when the midwife told me, she gave me a leaflet and told me to join a Facebook page. And I'm not even kidding you, like, the whole thing was just like, your baby's going to die. Your baby's going to get meningitis. Your baby's going to get sepsis. Like, it's going to be really bad. And then, sorry. But, so yeah, when I, when they told me about the group B strep, I then kind of decided for myself that I didn't want to like listen to all this scaremongering that they were telling me. I was already doing like hypnobirthing and listening to podcasts and that, but this was really like they were throwing the dead baby card at me and I didn't like it. So from then I was just like, I'm not going to listen to what they're saying. I'm just going to tell my midwife I want to book in a home birth, and that's that. And then, so after that, I told the midwife. She didn't agree. She wouldn't let me because she said they won't like facilitate it, especially if I've had preeclampsia and I've got group B strep. At this point, they knew baby was breech, but they thought she was going to turn. But I kept on saying to them, like, she's not turning. Like, I've only got half the amount of room as, you know, a person with a normal womb would have. Like, she's not going anywhere. Like, she's staying like that, and that's how she wants to be. Yeah, so then about 30 weeks, I had a phone call from the Royal Cornwall Hospital saying that they want to put me on the OptiBreech trial. And a lady called Ellie phoned me up and she was like, look, you know, I've read everything about you. I know your baby's breech and I think she's going to stay breech. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to book in for a cesarean? I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, I want to have a home birth. And she was like, she didn't want to tell me no, but she needed to tell me like all the risks and all this and that. So I was quite adamant, like I still wanted a home birth. I didn't really want to, you know, agree to going into the labour ward. Like, the labour ward was the last place I wanted to be. I did not want to be there at all. And then we started talking about the fact that, you know, the hospital is an hour and a half away. And if something goes wrong, it's an hour and a half. Or we'd have to wait for an ambulance. And where we are, like, ambulances can genuinely take up to 12 hours. Like, it's really bad here. So I agreed to go and view the birth centre. And when I went to view it, like, the OptiBreech midwife, Ellie, like, she was amazing. She literally said to everyone, you know, like, Abby's going to do it how she wants. Like, we're not going to be in the room. We're not going to intervene. We're not going to suggest that she does this and that. And the consultants were trying to, you know, they would sit down and they'd like give me all this information and they were trying to scare me. But I could see Ellie like in the corner, like she was really like advocating for me and saying, you know, like she can do this and she needs the opportunity to do it. And if it wasn't for her, I don't think I would have like had the opportunities that I did. Yeah, so I viewed the birth center. And I was, you know, I wasn't happy with it, but I was okay. Like, I was like, okay, if I have to like go here, like I'll accept it. Like, that's fine. You know, it's the next step up from a home birth, so I'll take it. So yeah, we did that. They were telling me that I'd most likely go into labor at 37 weeks because breech babies come early and because of my uterus and all this. So 37 weeks came. I went for my last growth scan, and at this scan, they were going to tell me like the breech presentation, and I had to then tell Ellie. And we walked into the room, and it wasn't the usual like lady that we usually have. And I just got this feeling that something wasn't right. And I looked at my partner and I was like, babe, like, I don't, you know, it's not the normal lady. Like, I don't feel right about this. And I laid down and they started scanning me. And then he goes, oh, it's footling breech. Like, feet are down first. You can't have a natural birth. I need to ring Trilis straight away. I'm going to ring the lady and you're going to go down for a cesarean today. And that was it. Like,
what?
Yeah. I was bawling my eyes out. I was looking at my partner. I was just like, what the hell? Like, this is not happening. Like I can't do this. Like, my whole world just came crashing down. So we leave the hospital thinking that we're going to go home and pick up our bags and go down to Trelis for a cesarean today. And then Ellie phoned me, the OptiBreach midwife, and she's like, that was absolute rubbish. Like, I have no idea why this guy's just told you this. It's not a footling breach. She is frank breach. Her bum is like down in the birth canal and her feet are crossed. So her feet are level with her bum. Like, it's fine. We can carry on as normal.
Oh,
so I was like, thank God, like, you know, they shouldn't allow these people to just tell you like what's going to happen when they don't actually know themselves, like what's going on, because he scared the absolute life out of me. Like, I really thought like all of it was just ruined, like everything was ruined. So yeah, we went back home and just kind of waited, because they told me she was 100% going to be born between 37 and 39 weeks. So my partner took 3 weeks off work from when I was 37 to 40 weeks. Yeah, and we were waiting and nothing happened. And I got to 39 weeks and 5 days and I started questioning myself, because they told me all this time that like she was going to be early and like that was going to happen. So I was kind of, I just remember sitting in front of the fire in my house and just being like, something's wrong with my body. Like, why haven't I gone into labor when everyone's told me like I should have? So I was getting in like a pretty bad place. And I rang Ellie and I was like, do I need to book in for an induction? Like, is there something wrong with me? She was like, no, you know, we can't induce breached babies. But I had in my head that there was something wrong. So I forced her to book me in for an induction at 42 weeks in case nothing happened, because I was, you know, I just got really depressed that something was wrong with me. And then, so the 28th of February came, I was 41 plus four, I think.
Wow, that must have felt like an excruciating wait. Because
yeah.
even like from, you know, when you get to your due date, I mean, this is my experience, even though I was super educated, that week of just waiting until 41 where I gave birth was the worst, most intense, hardest week. And I'm just thinking about you. Wow. Carry on.
Yeah. So it was the 28th of February and I had the induction was booked for the 28th at 9 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, it all started. So, you know, the contraction started and I woke up and I was like, okay, maybe this is it. So I went downstairs, put the fire on and I started meditating. And I meditated for 4 hours until 6 o'clock in the morning, just listening to hypnobirthing and listening to like sound baths. And I was just really in my zone, just and I had TENS machine on as well. So then 6 o'clock in the morning came, my partner woke up. Well, actually, he was already awake, but he was like doing those stress things that men do. He'd gotten out every single toolbox and was like relabeling all his tools. So he was doing that. I went upstairs to the toilet and my waters broke. And he comes running up and I'm like, it's fine, you know, like we probably still have 12 hours or, you know, 24 hours. Like, don't stress. Like, it's all cool. Like, I'm just going to go back to meditating and eating some cereal. And he's like, no, get in the car. Let's go. Like, babe, like, I just have this feeling like it's going to be quick. Like, and I, you know, I don't want to be here by myself when this happens. I need you to get in the car right now. So I was like, okay, like, I really don't want to be at hospital all day, babe. Like, I'd much rather be at home. But if it makes you feel safer knowing that, like, you know, Ellie's there, then that's fine. So we got to the hospital at 7 o'clock. And Ellie had literally started her shift at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we had the whole 12 hours of her. It was brilliant. And she checked me and she was like, oh, you're 6 centimetres.
Wow.
And bearing in mind, I was just chilling, walking around. Like, we were just chatting about work and cars and all this. And then, yeah, they was like, how are you 6 centimetres? And, like, you're just not even in pain. I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I've just been chilling. So then we went over to the birth centre, got all set up there. That was really nice. The only thing they told me that they wouldn't allow me to do was to have a water bath, because they couldn't like manoeuvre a breech underwater or if something happened. And I wasn't happy about that, but I just had to, you know. I said, you know, that's fine, but if my body tells me I want to get in that pool, like I'm getting in that pool and you're not telling me no, like if that's what happens. And she was just like, okay, like that's fine, but I don't feel comfortable with that. I was like, well, you're just gonna have to deal with it, I'm afraid. Like this can be your first experience as a breech water birth, like if it happens. But yeah, so we was in the birth
hold
center.
On a minute, can I just ask you, where did you get this confidence from?
I don't know.
And what did your partner make of you in this like ballsy confidence that honestly you rarely hear women, you know, like this?
Yeah, he was kind of like silently scared, I'd say. Like he knew I wanted to do what I was going to do, and I was stubborn enough that he would be able to change my mind. But he would always kind of just occasionally say, you know, like if something does happen, like please listen to them, like if we need help. And I was like, of course, like that's fine, you know, if I end up really ill or the baby needs help, I'm not gonna say no, but I don't want to be pushed into a scenario that doesn't need to happen, that they're just gonna tell me to do because it's easy for them.
And is this all stemming from your first birth? Because that's what I'm hearing, is like this fire and this determination to have it your way.
Yeah.
I feel like if it hadn't been for your first, would you have been this adamant and this kind of...
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, I had such a, you know, the whole birth with my son, I don't really remember that because I was like unconscious and it was just so crazy. But the after effects, like I still feel now, like I still have that, you know, suffer with that connection with him. Like, you know, I love him so much, but that connection of like, I gave birth to you isn't there, because he just, you know, he just appeared and was thrown on me. And I was just like, oh my God, like what the hell just happened? You know, and I, because of that, I wanted to feel, you know, I just wanted to feel something, to feel connected, like to my baby, and to be like, you know, like I did that, or you know, I felt you like just in my body, or I felt the pain or the feeling that you were coming, just so you know, like you need to feel that. I think, like I really feel like you need that when you're giving birth, like even if you know if you go into labor and then you have to have a cesarean, at least you felt those contractions. Like I never felt anything, like I just got kind of pumped for a load of drugs and then like there he was, and I was just like, oh okay.
Yeah, it's like you missed a step. It's like, well, you know what just happened there, you bypassed a you know, an important a step that was important to you.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. I just needed to kind of hear that. I needed to hear where that fire came from, because I know a lot of people will be listening going, gosh, like that's just like, you know, not many people have that, you know, ability to stand for what they want, especially when everyone's telling you to do the opposite. It's quite challenging.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that until afterwards, you know, when everyone's kind of complimented me, because for me it was just kind of like the norm. Like, and I guess with the world how it is nowadays, you know, for the past like 5 years I've been very kind of standoffish against how everything is and like living my own life the way I want to. So it's just been a normal for me. I didn't realize like how, you know, how different it is, and how women, you know, really don't say anything when the doctor or midwife tells them to do something. But
especially
yeah,
when it's your baby, because ultimately you want the best by your baby. And sometimes for some people they think, well, who am I to decide and choose when these medical professionals are telling me this is the right way?
Yeah,
Then
exactly.
The default really is to listen to them, because, you know, that's our perception of people in those powerful positions, is they know more than us. And
Yeah.
In birth, I think often it can be different because it's our bodies and
Yeah.
our babies and our experiences. So
Yeah.
But yeah, carry on with the story.
Yeah, so yeah, we was in the birth centre from about 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and around 9 o'clock, all my waters were breaking, like everything was just kind of pouring out of me, and there was quite a lot of meconium. And I told Ellie, because they weren't in the room, like they left me, like they were happy with me just doing my own thing. So I called Ellie back in and I was like, look, this is the situation. I know this changes things. What do you want to do? Like, can I stay here, or does something else need to happen? And she was really calm, and she just said, let's go over to the labor ward, but before we go over, I'm going to take you to the room that is set up for hypnobirthing, and I'm going to go over there now, and I'm going to take all your stuff, I'm going to put your Bob Marley music on, I'm going to set it all up for you. So when you go over there, it's no different to this room, apart from the fact it doesn't have a pull. So I was like, oh, for God's sake, I don't want to do this, but okay, like this is happening.
And was it quite thick meconium? Did you look?
Yeah, so I was kind of like monitoring it, and I was watching. I was like, okay, like this is green. Okay, this is getting a bit more now. And then it was like, I was like, oh, okay, I think I need to tell them now. So yeah, when I told them, I was kind of mentally at the point where I was like, okay, I think things need to change, and that's okay, because you know, my body's showing me that, you know, this is changing. So we went over to the labor ward at 9 o'clock, and I'd walked over there just walking absolutely fine. But I didn't get checked at all, but I felt my body was about like 8 centimeters at this point. It was ramping up, but it wasn't unbearable. Like, I could bear with it. I was absolutely fine. So, yeah, we was in the labour ward about 9 o'clock. Then 10 o'clock came. And that's at 10 o'clock, things were like, I was like, okay, my body is ready now. Like, this is it. Like, I'm ready. This baby is coming very, very soon. And I was just kind of laying on like one of the yoga mats on the floor. I tried the birthing stool. That wasn't working. And I ended up in the position of just standing up and holding on to the handles on the beds that they use to push the beds around. And I was using that kind of as like my anchor for my body weight. And I just kind of let my body kind of flop when a contraction came, and like hold my weight on this handle. And yes, baby was there, like she was there. I was like, okay, she's coming out now, like this is it, I'm just gonna, you know, give way to my body. And what I didn't realize at the time is when the baby is coming out with a breech, they have 7 minutes to get that baby out, and if that baby isn't out within 7 minutes, they will then intervene. And I didn't know this, so they was telling me, they was like, push, just push out, like push her out, like you need to push. And I was like, no, like I'm not pushing when my body isn't telling me to, like I am waiting, like I don't care about your timer that you've put on right now, like I'm waiting for this. And you know, I was oblivious to the fact that they were on this time scale, because they were told, if you know, the baby isn't out in 7 minutes, then she can't breathe, and like bad things are going to happen. But I wasn't pushing, like I was not, like there was no chance. And I didn't feel like I could, like I don't understand how.
Had they checked you before this?
No.
Point? So how then, what did you feel the initial urges? How then did you decide to get to the point that it was like time to push?
Yeah, so I felt it, and they had a mirror and they saw her feet. They could see her feet.
Uh-huh. So
that was when they were telling me, like, I need to push. But I was just like, no, I'm waiting for these contractions to push her out, like, themselves. Like, I can't go against my body. Like, I think I tried to push once and it felt so wrong. Like, I couldn't understand how women do it. Like, I was like, this isn't right. Like, this is hurting me. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, I knew my body was going to push her out, because with each contraction, I could feel you know, I could feel she was coming down more. I could feel it getting more intense. I could feel like everything happening, and I knew I just had to wait. And then her legs came out, and then her body, and then her head, and that was that. And she was here, and I just couldn't believe it. And I kept saying to like my partner, I was like, "Are you sure it's a girl? Like, are you sure? Like, did we actually just do this? Like, did that just happen?" And I remember laying down on the bed afterwards and just being like, "That was so easy. Like, I'm really confused why everyone makes such a big deal about this, because I'll do it again in a minute if you want. Like, it's fine."
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, just as you were saying it, I was obviously picturing, so I've seen the video. And by the way, guys, I posted this video and it resulted in like over 2,000 people unfollowing me in a single day. And I got loads of DMs saying you should have put a trigger warning on it, which, to be honest, I blurred everything out. I did followed all the guidelines, and then Instagram also, it got flagged as inappropriate. So we've had a conversation about Abby potentially sending it into badass mother Bertha to get it seen by more people, even though it got, you know, pretty much went viral, 500,000 views and so many amazing comments, and people were just like, wow. I was speaking to a midwife friend and she said she was just like on edge, just watching like what would happen. So it's a really powerful birthing video. Definitely would, you know, put it out there and get it seen, and hopefully you guys will see it on the badass page. But let's go back to your birth. So you push the baby out, you lay down, and you were like, oh my god, is it a girl? Did that just happen? And what were the feelings like? What was your partner saying? Like, what tell us more about that moment.
Yeah, so he was just amazed like the whole time. He you know, he's kind of like a man's man, and he was like, you know, if I have to see things, like, I'll see things. And I tried to get him to do the hypnobirthing with me, and he'd listen, but I could tell he was like, you know, like, But when she came, he was like, what the hell? Like, how did you just do that with, you know, with just a TENS machine? And because I had the gas and air mask, right, but I couldn't use it because she was like, it's ruining your breathing. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna hold it because I like holding it. So it was just holding it, and he was just like, what? And he watched it all, and he wanted to, you know, and he was just like, that was incredible, because, you know, yeah, it really was. And yeah, I just remember laying there and I was just in awe of what just happened, and the fact that it wasn't this horrible emergency and people screaming and like people being like, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna die and I can't do this and this is the worst thing ever and I hate you, and like, there was none of that. I was just so happy, like, everything was just amazing. And you know, she breastfed for about 5 hours straight afterwards, and no one touched her. We were just laying skin to skin from about 10:30 until 3 o'clock. They didn't
tell
wait.
Me about the midwives and what they said to you.
Yeah, so
afterwards,
they was, you know, they all congratulated me, and they was like, I can't believe you just done this. And all the, you know, all the consultants, because obviously the consultants and the neonatalists and all this were kind of like behind the curtains and waiting for bad things to happen. And they just kind of came in, and I saw the looks on their faces, and I was just like, I did it. Like, I told you I could do it. And they was like, yes, well done. Like, very good.
You did it.
But the actual midwives, like Ellie, they were just, you know, they were just amazed. Like, they were so happy and they were so proud of me, and they were just saying, you know, like, you were so strong and like you didn't even look like you was in pain. Like, it was amazing. And I was like signing all the things so they could use the video in their training. I was like, yeah, go, you use it, you show everyone this. Like, it's so cool. Like, I want everyone to experience this. Like, I don't want anyone to have a cesarean for like no reason. Like, I need you
and
to use
and with your uterus and everything. It's just like,
I know,
oh god, this is such an amazing story. And I bet you were the talk of the and tea talk. I bet you were literally featured in all these conversations for a long time afterwards. That is just incredible. So talk to us about, like, obviously you're a strong woman, like mindset wise, and but you sounded like you really navigated that labor in such a positive way, and like the way that you stayed calm. It doesn't even sound like you really had a transition stage worth talking about, or even if you experienced it. So tell us how you did that. Like, what tools were you using? What prep did you do? What kind of, yeah, tell us. I mean, I want to know because I'm about to give birth, so I'm sitting back and listening.
I literally just listened to every single podcast I could find, like all of your podcasts, all of Kemi's podcasts, just everyone who was a strong, like independent woman that was saying, we're not listening to the system because we know our bodies. Like I was listening to it for 12 hours a day. And every time I got told something and I felt like I wasn't sure about it, I'd go and research it, and I'd research it to the point until I felt confident about it. But I think if I didn't educate that myself, if I didn't educate myself in that way, I probably would have been petrified, because I look back at it and I think, if I didn't know what my body was doing, and I wasn't comfortable with sitting in that, those uncomfortable feelings and allowing it to come and just letting those waves, just go through my body. If I was putting up a fight against it, or I was scared, like I think, it wouldn't have gone the way it did. It probably would have been really scary. And, it's not nice to think some women go into labor and birth not knowing anything. Like I dread to feel, I was that woman, 7 years ago, but I dread to feel how that feels for them, to just be not connected with their body and oblivious to what their body's doing inside, if you know what I mean. Like,
Absolutely, absolutely. And
yeah.
what about talk to us about the postnatal period and how that looked different after this birth?
Yeah, so different, honestly. Like, I feel just so connected, like, to this baby, like I really do. And everything feels easier. Everything feels like I know what I'm doing, and I know how she feels, and she really is like a part of me, and we are like one person. And it's just, I feel positive, and I want to tell people about, about how I gave birth, and I want to tell them to do hypnobirthing and listen to this and listen to that. And I just want to rave about it everywhere. And, I want to have more, like exactly how I did. But yeah, it really
Gosh,
does.
so different, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I'll also add to that, it's not about, I don't think it's about the fact that you had a C-section versus, it doesn't feel like it's that. It's this thing about control and feeling as though you were in control of your choices. So it's less about like the way we give birth. It's how we feel about our births and the way that we're treated and how much control, perceived control we have. So even with the birth of Juniper, on paper, very positive, it was what made me start this work, and it really was the catalyst of the work that I do now for the last 4 years. And but there were things that happened at the end of the birth, like being coached to push when I didn't feel the urge, and like doing what you described, doing something that felt unnatural to my body, pushing and bearing down where there were no force, there were no urges, there was no contractions. And that, and then combined with her being kind of put on me rather than me embracing her or picking her up in my own time, that they sound like small things, but actually the fact that I was coached and didn't listen to my body at that last bit, I had a similar feeling to you, like this thing was plonked on me rather than I, continued that instinctual process of birthing right through to the end, felt the urges bear down in my own time, and then birthed the baby, and then picked up the baby and received them in my own time. Those crucial moments for me, I think, would have been the difference between feeling quite bonded with June's, like feeling that bond quicker probably Whereas I felt a similar thing to you, that it was a thing that was plonked on me rather than the baby that I had grown for 9 months that I had now given birth to. And it's not about like the mode of delivery, because I had a vaginal birth and I can still feel that way. It's those crucial moments that throughout your birth that then make you feel like you did it, you know, and or that you were in control. So I just wanted to say that, because I also don't want someone to listen and say, well, if I have a cesarean, then I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah, no, completely. Like, I think it was purely the fact that, you know, I heard them say, you know, like, oh, she's a teen mum and all this. And, you know, just this really like just negative atmosphere when I had my son, and it was just so rushed and so crazy. And I don't remember at one point someone saying to me, like, do you want this? Or are you okay? Or okay, this is going to happen. It was just like, I was on a bed, I was being injected, I was, you know, having a fit, and then I was unconscious, and then this, and then I got taken to theatre. Like, it was all that. If, you know, if there was a person who kind of sat down to me and said, okay, listen, like, you've got preeclampsia, we're going to have to do so and so, like, are you okay with this? Like, let's get you ready to meet your baby. Like, I probably wouldn't have felt the way I did.
That's it. Those moments, those having a caring person to explain things to you and say, you know, you're going to meet your baby soon. We'll bring them straight to your chest. You'll still have skin to skin. We'll help you with the breastfeeding. Are you okay? This is exactly that. And then, do you want this to happen? And when your baby's born, would you like us to do this or this? Give you the control, not just like a slab of meat going dush, 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 or a car going in for service, just like a piece of machinery or something. Yeah. So you've just gifted us quite an incredible story that I know is going to touch many people for a long time now. And even if you don't hear back immediately, just know that you've done something amazing by sharing this story on this podcast. Yeah. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? Or if there's a mum that's listening who has, you know, a breech presenting baby and is wondering which route to take, what would you say to them?
I would just say, just because you've been told your baby's breech doesn't mean there's something wrong. Like, it is a variation of normal. Like, your baby is okay, because people hear breech and they immediately think, this is bad, so everything must change now because I have a breech baby. And it's not, you know, that's not the case. That's the reason why they are doing these, you know, studies and trials now, because they've realized, like, oh, there is actually nothing wrong. You know, there's no kind of risk, you know, there isn't an increased risk just because the baby is backwards. Like, they can still come out. But yeah, that's all I would say. And just really do your research and prepare yourself, because it is a day you will look back on and you will either wish you made changes or be, you know, proud of, well, not proud, be happy with the work that you've put in.
Yeah.
And appreciate everything that you've worked hard for. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I know it's quite a hard one to message, but essentially you want to do everything in your power to make sure that you have a positive birth, a good birth. And then if you do have intervention, if you do have things happen, you can look back and say, well, I did everything. You know, my best friend gave birth a couple of days ago and she had a C-section. And she genuinely can look back and say, I did everything in my power to have, you know, a really positive birth. And she still feels she had a very positive and empowering birth, even though it was completely different to her plan A, because she set herself up in that way. And it wasn't about, like we've said, to repeat myself, it's not about the mode of delivery. It's how in control she felt. And she was still able to advocate for things like waiting for the cord to be white, and skin to skin immediately, having newborn checks on her chest during the surgery, having her Bob Marley, like you, she was playing Bob Marley in theatre, all of those things. So she literally, like, she phoned me and she was on a high afterwards, even though it was completely different to what she had wanted. But it's because of the work that she did.
Yeah, exactly. I writ out like 8 different birth plans and I was happy with each one of them. I just knew that in each of those birth plans was everything that I wanted. You know, I had a birth plan for cesarean and I had it as a gentle cesarean, you know, when the baby is kind of, you know, on your stomach and able to come up to you and the lights dimmed and, you know, I was okay with what happens happens, but I want to have my say in what happens.
Amazing. Oh, well, it's been lovely speaking to you. I was looking forward to this all weekend. So yeah, just amazing to hear you say, share your story in the voice. Obviously I've got all the video super clear in my mind because I've watched about 20 million times. And yeah, hopefully you share it further with the world and put it out there on the Badass Mother page. I'm sure people will absolutely just be like, oh my God, in awe of what you did. So big congratulations to your partner too for being standing by you, even though maybe there were points where he was anxious, he still stood by you. And I think that's the most important thing that your, you know, birth partner can do is put their fears aside and stand by with you, you know?
Yeah,
like he did that.
Amazing, bless them. I think it was a life-changing experience for him as well, which is good.
Oh, well, big congrats to you and all the best.
Thank you.